When we hear the word foolish, we usually think of someone who does something really dumb, that they make a poor decision because they're not very smart. This morning, we're going to be talking about fools and what the book of Proverbs says about fools. But the book of Proverbs has kind of a different idea of what a fool is. We think of a fool as someone who's not very smart, that there is a mental deficiency. But in the book of Proverbs, it's not a mental deficiency, it's a spiritual deficiency. It's not so much a matter of the head, it's a matter of the heart. In the book of Proverbs, a fool is someone who is selfish, someone who is arrogant, and someone who always has to have their own way. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about fools. We're in this series dealing with difficult people, and fools can be extremely difficult to deal with. Proverbs 17:12 says this, "Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. I'd rather meet a bear who's protecting its cubs than to deal with a fool, because fools are so disruptive. They're harmful. Dealing with a fool is like riding a roller coaster." How many of you like riding roller coasters? I hate them. I hate them. You're going up that first hill, and you don't know what's going to come next, and then you go down the hill, you go up the hill, and it knocks you side to side. That's like dealing with a fool. You're going up that hill, you don't know what they're going to do, if they're going to get angry, what they're going to say. You go up and down emotionally, they knock you side to side. That's dealing with a fool. Dealing with a fool is like, remember in the 60s and early 70s, they had that toy from Wham-O called the Super Ball. You know, it's that hard plastic ball, and you would take it and you take it out in the street and you throw it down the ground, and it would go 20 stories up in the air. I mean, it's just, it's so much energy in that. And what I wanted to do as a kid is take it inside and throw it against the walls. But your mom would never let you do that because of this destruction. You throw that super ball and it would hit the wall and hit this wall and break that lamp and break that knickknack and break that window. That's like a fool. A fool is bouncing around hurting people from one relationship to another. They cause damage. They create chaos. Next week, we're going to talk about an evil person. And an evil person is someone, a toxic person, is someone who plans to harm you. They make it in their mind that they are going to hurt you. They have intentional plans. Now, the fool doesn't intend to harm you, but they end up harming you. It ends up the same place, that they do something that harms you, that damages you. And we all have to deal with different fools. You may go to school with a fool. You may have to work with a fool. You may go to church with a fool. You may even live with a fool. And fools are very difficult to deal with. So this morning we're going to look at what are some of the characteristics of a fool from the book of Proverbs, and then how do you deal with those fools? So take your Bible, and we'll be all in the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 7, page 453. Proverbs chapter 7. Now, all of us do foolish things from time to time. But a fool is one that this is the characteristic of their life. These qualities that we're going to look at, this is their main traits. Characteristics of a fool. We're going to look at several different characteristics. First is a fool is impulsive. Chapter 7, verse 19. This tells a story about a fool. And he meets this woman. The woman says to him, "My husband is not home. He has gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money, and he will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose. He's impulsive. All of a sudden, "Oh yeah, this sounds good." They make hasty decisions. They don't think through the consequences. Proverbs 21:20. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but a foolish man devours all he has. A wise man, he stores up everything. Well, I need some food for tomorrow. The fool is impulsive. He eats everything in the house. He needs immediate gratification. He's impulsive. Chapter 21, verse 7. He who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. I want pleasure now. I want to feel good now. Verse 26. All day long, he craves for more. He's impulsive. Fools are easily pleased, but they're insatiable. They're easily pleased. Oh, that feels good. That food is good. But they're insatiable. They want more and more and more. Want more and more. Chapter 17, verse 24. A discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eye wanders to the end of the earth. A wise man, he has this goal, wisdom, but the fool is always looking for that next thing, looking beyond that. What I need something. I'm empty. I'm impulsive. I'm never satisfied. Sometimes foolishness shows itself in addiction. Fools tend to be addicted to maybe alcohol or pornography or shopping or video games or anything to fill that emptiness. I've got to fill this emptiness with something. And so they need pleasure. They're impulsive. They need to fill this emptiness with inside them. They need to feel good now. Second characteristic, they're self-absorbed. It's all about me. Look at Proverbs 30:32. If you've played the fool and exalted yourself, or if you've planned evil, clap your hand over your mouth. And so the fool, he exalts himself. It's all about me. I'm the center of the universe. I'm the center of this party. You know, if they come into the room, they have to be the center of attention. They're self-absorbed. Chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinion. Loves to talk about his own opinion. He's always right. It's all about me. Let me tell you what I think about this. They know it all. Chapter 28, verse 26. 28, 26. He who trusts in himself is a fool. The kind of the theme of the book of Proverbs is chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The way of wisdom is trusting God, but the fool trusts himself. I know what's best. I know what's better than I know what's best better than God does. And so the fool is self-absorbed. Look at chapter 12, verse 15. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. My way is best. Fools are self-absorbed, but they're not self-aware. They're always looking at themselves, but they don't see how they affect other people. They're always hurting people. They're always bumping into people. They don't see how they come across. They're unaware of how they relate to other people. Janice Silvius, she wrote a book called Foolproofing Your Life. And here she tells a story about her friend Sarah. And Sarah's mom was a self-absorbed fool. My daughter had a very rare form of cancer 3 years ago when she was 8. Since my mother lived only a few hours from us, She volunteered to stay at the house with our son while my husband and I were at the hospital. That afternoon, after Mom arrived, she called the hospital, demanding to know where I hid the mop. She wanted to clean my filthy kitchen floor. Since we were talking to the doctor about the treatment plan for my daughter, I told my mom I'd have to call her back. She insisted that I tell her right then and there where I put the mop. Sensing from my end of the conversation that my mom was harassing me, my husband took the phone and said, "Mary, we'll call you back later. The doctor's here. We can't talk." Then she just slammed the phone and hung up. When we got home that evening, Mom wasn't talking to us. She never asked about her granddaughter. She only made an announcement, "I'm leaving." I was too exhausted from the ordeal with my daughter to argue, so I just went into the bedroom and shut the door. I heard my mom with one last voice say to my husband, "Obviously, my presence isn't needed here." And then she left. What a self-absorbed person. You know, it's all about me and, you know, my needs, and I have to be the center of attention. It's not about the granddaughter who has cancer. That's a fool, self-absorbed. They can't see other people's needs. Let me tell you a kind of a strange memory I had. It's really weird. It's a clear memory. When I was in second grade, I was walking to school. And in those days, you could let second graders walk to school. I mean, it was safe. And so I was walking to school, and I was just kind of thinking to myself and, you know, talking to myself in my head and all this kind of stuff. And I saw some other people walking, and I said to myself, I wonder if they talk to themselves. I wonder if they have feelings. Because before, I thought they were just things. You know, you got your toys, and you got your house, and you got all the grass, and you got people, and it's all the same. And so I remember the moment when I was in second grade that, hey, other people have feelings. Other people have emotions. Other people think. Fools never get to that point. People are always objects. You're there to meet my needs. You probably don't have thoughts. You probably don't have emotions. You're there for me. That's a fool. A fool is self-centered and unaware. Third trait of a fool is angry. Look at chapter 14, verse 16. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Verse 17. A quick-tempered man does foolish things. Verse 29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered fool displays his folly. Chapter 29, verse 11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. A fool is always angry. You know people like that they're always full of anger. They're like a dirty bomb. You know, dirty bomb is you've got conventional explosives, TNT, and then around it you've got either some kind of toxic waste or you have some kind of nuclear waste. And it explodes and all this nuclear waste goes everywhere. When a fool gets angry, he explodes and there's this toxic waste everywhere. He damages people with his foolish anger. A fool's anger is disproportionate. There's this little tiny thing, and he blows up. The waiter is late with the food, and he just starts yelling. Her daughter drops something on the floor, and she explodes. And the reason is because it's not really the outward thing. It's this inward thing. They're dissatisfied. Their goals are blocked. It's all about me, and you're not meeting my needs. Life's not fair. I should get my way. And so they explode. And then a fool's anger is repetitive. They get angry. They explode. And typically a fool will, I'm sorry. They'll apologize. And then they'll explode again. Oh, I'm sorry. And then they'll explode again. It's a repeated pattern over and over again. Their anger is repetitive. A fool is impulsive, a fool is self-absorbed, and a fool is angry. Fourth quality, a fool creates strife. Because they are impulsive, because they are angry, they go around creating conflict. Chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips brings him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. Chapter 20, verse 3. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Chapter 15, verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. And so they're always trying to argue, always bringing strife. It's amazing how a fool can walk into a room full of people and within 10 minutes, they've started a fight. And they just walk into the fool and they start attack. They walk into a room and they start attacking people and antagonizing people. That's a fool. It's like a bumper car. You bump into this thing and you bump into that thing. They're always causing conflict. I remember several years ago, I did a funeral for a friend. And a lot of people from out of town came to this funeral. And someone said, well, have you met Aunt Mildred yet? That's not her real name. But have you met Aunt Mildred yet? And I said, no. Well, watch out. She's trouble. And then someone else came to me and said, have you met Aunt Mildred yet? You know, she's trouble. And so when I met her, it's like, wow. And true enough, here's this funeral. It's about this person who's died. And Aunt Mildred made it all about her. Several times she huffed out of the room. Things weren't going her way. I want things done this way. It was amazing how she made the situation about her. And that's what fools do. They create strife. They're impulsive. They're self-centered. They're angry. They create conflict. And then finally, they are arrogantly closed-minded. Arrogantly closed-minded. Chapter 12, verse 15. We already read this, but let me read it again. The way of the fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A wise man listens. Chapter 1, verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the fool despises wisdom and discipline. Chapter 15, verse 5. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. So a fool will not listen to correction. Closed-minded, I don't need to hear what you have to say. This is a really interesting one. Chapter 30, verse 20. Look at that. Chapter 30, verse 20. They're closed-minded. They never do anything wrong. I'm always right. This is the way of an adulteress. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I've done nothing wrong. So even though she commits adultery, oh, I've done nothing wrong. Adultery is just like having lunch. You have lunch and then you wipe your face and you go do something else. She commits adultery and, oh, I haven't done anything wrong. I'm blameless. They're closed-minded. They won't admit their sin. And then chapter 19, verse 3. A man's own folly ruins his life. A man's own folly ruins his life. Yet his heart rages against the Lord. He causes all the problems. He's the bumper car. He's the Super Bowl going back and forth. But what does he do? He blames God. All this bad stuff in my life is your fault, God. That's a characteristic of a fool. They're always blaming people. It's either God's fault or it's your fault. You know, you're a bad wife. You're a bad husband. You're a bad parent. It's your fault that I'm in this situation. A fool is impulsive, self-absorbed, angry. He creates strife, and he's closed-minded. Got the picture of a fool? How do you love a fool? How do you love a fool? As believers, we're called to love people. Let me summarize last week's sermon in 2 points, real quickly. First point, love is more than being nice. We looked at how Jesus loved. Everything he did was loving, yet love was not just being nice. I mean, he chased people out of the temple. He made a whip and chased all the sheep and the cattle out of the temple. Everything he did was loving, but his love was bold. His love was destructive sometimes. It was disturbing. You have this pattern of sin. I'm going to do whatever I can to disrupt that. Love is beyond being nice. And then the second point last week was, love is doing whatever you can to move someone closer to Christ. Whatever I can to move someone closer to Christ. How can you move a fool closer to Christ? You need to keep in mind when you deal with a fool, you can't change a fool. You can't change a fool. You can create opportunities for them to change, but you can't change them. They have to change. Jan Sylvius writes in her book, Dealing with Fools, your goal is to be the person God intends you to be, no matter what choices the fool makes. You need to be the person God wants you to be, no matter what the fool does. It's not about the fool, it's about you and how God wants to work in your life. So you may not be able to change the fool. That's between the fool and the Holy Spirit. All you can do is create an opportunity. So let me give you three strategies for dealing with a fool, three ways of loving a fool. And this is from Dan Allender's book, Bold Love, a really great book. First, expose their folly. Part of being a fool is being self-absorbed. They're walking around with a mirror. All they see is themselves and the way they want to see themselves. You need to expose their folly. Take away a moment their mirror and show them a picture. Here's a picture of you in your folly. This is what you look like when you're being foolish. You need to expose their folly. Sometimes you expose their folly with a well-placed word. Peter, in the New Testament, he had some characteristics of a fool. In Luke chapter 22, he's talking to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm willing to go to prison. I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus says to Peter, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me. He exposes his folly. Simple words. Peter, this is reality. The woman at the well, she had some characteristics of a fool. She had 5 husbands, and the guy she was living with was not her husband. She tried to fill this emptiness with relationships. She was a fool. What did Jesus do? Has this discussion with her, and then he takes it to another level. Go call your husband. Go get your husband. Trying to expose her folly. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. I've had 5 husbands, and the guy I'm living with is not my husband. And so he's trying to give her a picture. This is you. There's something not right with this picture. Something not right the way that you relate to men. Something's not right there. Here's the dilemma. Fools don't want to see their folly. Fools are angry. And so if you confront them, what are they going to do? Get angry. And so what you need to do sometimes with a fool is speak the truth in love and then get out of their way. Dan Allender calls this guerrilla warfare. In guerrilla warfare, sometimes what you do is the soldiers will come and they'll face their opponents and then they'll go back into the jungle. Sometimes dealing with a fool, you need to speak the truth in love and then get out of their anger. You don't need to be involved in their folly. Speak the truth in love and then maybe back away. I mean, that's a way of doing it. Speak the truth in love. Expose their folly by describing their behavior and telling them how their behavior affects you. Don't be pulled into their anger. I mean, if you expose a fool, they're going to be angry. You don't need to be angry back at them. You don't need to join their folly. And don't let them trap you by blaming you. Remember, one of the big things of a fool is it's always blaming people. It's your fault. You show them their folly, what are they going to do? Well, it's your fault I'm this way. You should be more whatever. Don't go into that. If you've made a mistake, say, yeah, I was wrong in that. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about you. So don't let them draw you into their anger, and don't let them draw you into this whole blame thing. Speak the truth in love, and you may need to move aside for a while. Sometimes words aren't enough. Sometimes you need some actions. Last week, we told the story about this elderly man in Walmart and how he was just ranting and raving, and he was saying the salesperson cheated him and on and on and on. And his wife simply walked away, went outside. And here he is, ranting and raving all by himself. His folly is exposed. Told the other story about how a family was on vacation. They were driving in the city, and the wife said, well, maybe we're kind of lost. Maybe we should stop and get directions. And the husband, you can't do that. You're questioning my manhood. Gets all angry. What does she do? She exposes his folly. Stop the car right here. The kids and I are getting out. Exposing his folly. After much prayer and planning, expose their folly. And this is not anything to do lightly. You need to pray about it. You maybe even talk to other Christians. Tell them the situation. I'm dealing with this fool, and this is how they behave. What should I do? How can I deal with this person? So pray and plan and talk to other believers. Expose their folly. Second, let them experience consequences. Chapter 9, verse 19 says this: a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Wow. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you'll have to do it again. You need to let people experience the negative consequences. Don't rescue them. Mom, I didn't study for the exam that's today. Can I skip school today? No, honey, I think you should go to school today. You know, let them experience consequences. If a friend is foolish with his money and he has all this debt and he's always borrowing from you, maybe you need to let him lose his car. Maybe you let him experience the consequences of his foolishness. Sometimes consequences can be relational. When you start drinking, I'm going to leave. I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to go to McDonald's for a while. I'm just going to get out of the house. I can't be around you when you're drinking. When you're yelling like that, I'm going to go outside for a while. You can't talk to me that way. I'm going to hang up the phone. When you're ready to talk to me like an adult, give me a call. But until then, don't call me. And so there can be relational consequences. Expose their folly. Let them experience the consequences of their behavior. And then third, envision change. You've taken away their mirror. You've shown them a picture of this is what you look like when you're foolish. And then show them another picture. This is what you're like when you're following the Lord. This is the man, the woman you can be in Jesus, in Christ. This is what you look like when you're foolish, but I've seen you over here. Envision change. This is the person you can be in Christ. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus says to Peter, you know, you're going to deny me. And then he says this, when you have turned back, strengthen your brother. Peter, you're foolish right now, and I know you're going to deny me. But when you come back, and I know you're going to come back, I know your heart. When you come back, strengthen your brothers. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Okay, feed my sheep. This is the man you can be. You can be the strong leader. I know you can. See, the book, when we're dealing with fools, we get so discouraged because it seems like fools will never change. They'll just never change. But the whole book of Proverbs is a call to a fool to come into wisdom. Fools can change. It can be a long process, but fools can change. This is what you look like in your folly, but this is what you look like when you're following the Lord. And remember, you can't change them. You just give them an opportunity. And also remember, it's not just you, it's the Holy Spirit that's working in their life. We love a fool by exposing their folly, letting them experience consequences, and then envisioning change. And again, dealing with a fool is not easy. It's a roller coaster ride. It's a spiritual battle. It's difficult. And because it's difficult, you need to rely on every spiritual resource you have. God's strength, God's peace, God's hope, God's word, God's people. You need God's help because this is a spiritual battle. Let me close with one thought. When we were going through the characteristics of a fool, impulsive, self-absorbed, angry, creates strife, closed-minded, you were probably thinking, yeah, that sounds just like, you know, that sounds like Ted or that sounds like Helen. You know, oh yeah, that person's a fool. Maybe the Lord through the book of Proverbs is talking to you. Maybe you have some of these characteristics. Maybe you deal with being impulsive. Maybe you're a little self-centered. Maybe you have problems with anger. Maybe you kind of create chaos wherever you go. Maybe you're closed-minded. Maybe you don't listen to discipline or correction. Perhaps the Lord is talking to us too, that we have some foolish things in our life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's all stand.